You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 304 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week are Mr. Click Armor himself, co-host Scott Wright.
Hello.
Welcome back, hello, Scott.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
And the always opinionated co-host is here, Mr. Kevin Johnson.
I feel like everybody is opinionated. I'm just the one that says it loudly. I just want to I want to comment on something that I've been ruminating on a lot lately.
Ruminating?
It's the word that popped out of my mouth. I don't even know what that means. So, do you know how many people write me and say, I saw you on Tom's podcast?
Oh, God.
And I laugh because, and here's why I laugh. I consider this your and Scott's podcast. I honestly feel like I'm just a ongoing guest, right? Like I'm that guest that, you know, like fish stinks after 3 days. For some reason, every time somebody talks to me about the podcast, it's not Shared Security Podcast. It's, hey, I saw you on Tom's podcast. And I feel like that needs to be the subtitle of every episode. The Shared Security Podcast, Tom's podcast.
Well, it's our podcast, technically. I mean, we are all the hosts of the podcast. So that's how I look at it.
I'm okay with being a guest.
Okay.
I just got a kick out of it that you are the face of the podcast. Sorry, Scott.
Wow. Okay. That's well, okay. when they say that, do they say good things about like the show or is it like...
I've heard more compliments about you, about Scott, about the podcast.
But
absolutely.
Not you.
No, people don't compliment me. And, I've never heard of something bad about a podcast.
Okay.
And it's always been good. I've just always laughed at, you know, that show you're on, Tom's podcast.
That's really funny. Well, here we are. So we're here on Kevin's podcast.
No,
and we're
God,
to
no.
For today, it's about Kevin's podcast.
No, just no.
So the first topic for this week is a question. So should we pay big tech not to use our data? So this gets into pay or ads or pay for privacy, as it's kind of been termed. This is a recent story in the news about Meta now having the option for users to charge basically a subscription fee for access to Instagram and Facebook without ads. And I think it's something like 10 euros or something a month, I think, for the subscription. Mm-hmm. And they are doing this because of GDPR. And you probably remember we've talked about all the fines over the years that Meta has had. I think it was some $1 billion fine or something like last year, wasn't it?
Something like
that. For like sharing European user data to the US or something like that. So they basically said, hey, if you're in Europe, if you don't want ads, well, you can pay for it. And of course, there's still that free, even though I would argue if you're using a Meta product, is it really free if you're giving your data away? But what do you both think about this new move by Meta?
Scott? Because I have ideas.
I'll be brief. I'll leave space for Kevin.
Oh, God.
It makes sense, I think, in general, to some extent. I think if you look at other ways that organizations use your data, you know, look at loyalty programs, right? You get discounts by getting points on a card, and you give up privacy to get those discounts.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it a similar way. It's just more explicit.
Yeah. I pay Hulu to not have ads, right? My question is, and I know what the article says. I know, you know, but it's being presented as not ads. What it really needs to discuss and get into, and it doesn't very well, in my opinion, is the commitment to not, if I'm paying you $10 a month, I want to know that you are absolutely not doing something with my data that I don't want you to do with it. And that you're not getting that, right? My understanding from reading it is that it is literally just, we're not going to display ads to you. Not, we're not going to use your data, manipulate your data, for things and what have you. And so I think the big thing to be clear on is, if that's all it is, understand that that's what you're paying, right? And I know that they talk about not storing the data, not giving it to advertisers and stuff like that, right?
Correct.
And that, and that's good, but there's a bunch of stuff Meta does because of logins to other site, to, you know, like all of that kind of stuff that doesn't appear to be covered by that subscription.
And right. There's internal things they use your data for.
Exactly.
All of that. Yeah, sure.
And in my opinion, the whole policy, so.
I have, as we'll talk about in the next one. And, to me, I think that's the biggest, I don't want to say concern, because I'm not going to pay them $10. I don't care if they take my data and do stuff with it. I've said that many times, but that's a personal choice. I think the problem is this is being presented as a way to be private on Facebook, not as a way to not be shared with advertisers. And that's a very different thing. Does that make, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a private safe thing, but it doesn't appear to be.
I think it is subtle, and you know, it may, maybe may, a lot of people might miss it. So
yeah. And that, well, that's, and Scott, that's exactly my concern, is that if people pay for it thinking they're getting privacy, this goes back, Tom, I want to say it was at ShmooCon where we presented together. That's how far back I'm talking about, right? Where there was this idea, and I still see it today. As a matter of fact, one of my friends' wife has done this with her Facebook profile, is that the people drop their last name off of their profile. And when you talk to them about it, they're doing it because they want to be private. They don't want their work to see what they're posting and stuff like that. Yet Facebook still has their last name, still knows their last name. And if you search for their last name, their non-last named account still shows up. And yet that's that subtlety, right? They think they're doing something increasing privacy, and really all they're doing is this false self, false sense of, and that's where it's a problem. And that's
one.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, there's one thing that I'm puzzled on when you say that paying for this service doesn't help your privacy. Maybe to some extent, I'm expecting, if they're doing it to comply with GDPR, doesn't that mean that it's helping with the privacy? Or
if I said it the way you just said it, I said it wrong. It's not that it's not helping with privacy. It's that people are going to buy this thinking it makes them private.
Okay. Yeah.
As in,
nothing's going to make you private.
Exactly. Right. No, exactly. Right.
It's hard.
It has accomplished becoming private, when really what it is, it moves the needle. It absolutely does. You're in better shape potentially if you do this, privacy-wise, but it does not make you private.
Okay.
And sorry. If I said it the other way, I misspoke. Sorry.
Maybe you didn't, but that's what my small brain picked up. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you have a small brain, but we've talked about that before.
The distance.
You're a great guy.
It's the communication difference between the U.S. and Canada.
That's, I didn't say A at the end. That was the
right.
Problem.
See, that's the problem. Oh, that's the problem,
to follow
Kevin.
If you don't do that,
I know. Well, speaking of policies, privacy policies, why don't we jump into our next segment, which is Aware Much?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So a few weeks ago, we discussed a study done by Mozilla around the privacy policies of vehicle manufacturers. Well, this week we're looking at the privacy policies of 20 of the most popular websites. As with the vehicles, these websites have policies that allow them to engage in a lot of data collection and sharing. And there's really a need for more transparency and awareness around these policies based on the study. And it was done by NordVPN, and they did 20 of the most popular websites in various countries. They said the average policy has around 7,000 words in it. And at 230 words a minute, if you can read, maybe Kevin reads faster than most of us, I think, but it would take 29 minutes to read on average each policy. And so all 20 policies for all 20 sites would be over 9 hours. And think about the fact that the average person visits 96 websites per month. Imagine if you read the privacy policy of each of those. So, you know, what do you guys think? What can you do about this?
Read faster.
No, use AI. That's the answer. Use AI.
Have AI read them. Yeah.
I have been waiting since Tom sent out the list of things to say read faster to that question. I know you have. When I thought of it, I giggled and I'm like, oh man, don't forget to say that. So
yeah.
I stop letting people sue for everything.
Yeah.
So Who's suing?
It's lawsuits that's driving the size of the policy. Oh, is that you're saying?
Yeah. And to be clear, this is a sarcastic answer that I don't think actually solves the problem, but because I don't think we should stop people from suing if they believe they should sue. I just paid a bill to my lawyer for reviewing contracts. And my attorney understands the rule we have. We have a great attorney. If I will tell you right now, if you're looking for attorney, this is not sponsored, but Katrina at Taylor English is amazing. And we gave them the rule that if we're going to work with you, we need to understand the documents you send us. If you're telling us to make a change something, if we're reviewing something and you want to change, tell us why. I don't doubt your expertise. That's why I pay you. But I need to understand it. And we've talked a lot about contracts and terms of service and everything else like that. And I know the idea that lawyers just want to be able to make money and so they have to make it complex. But the reality is in many cases, not all, but in many cases, that things are added to terms of service and user acceptable use policies and stuff like that based on a risk that somebody has outlined. And we all understand risk assessments, right? Or, well, we should understand risk assessments. People are still afraid of sharks and not cows. But most of these terms of service are long like this because it costs the company that puts the terms of service out almost nothing to publish that terms of service. And the return on investment preventing a lawsuit or that you may have a 1 in a million chance of being sued for that thing, but it costs you 30 cents to have the lawyer put it in the contract, right? It's worth the 30 cents to put into the contract. And so you have these usage policies that are huge and they cover every possible thing. And of course, they cover it to the benefit of the site you're using. You go through it, pick it apart, talk to an attorney. I challenge anybody to do this. I've done it. Pay an attorney to review an acceptable use policy with you and have them explain why that paragraph or that sentence is there. And the vast majority of them, they're there because there is a minute chance that somebody will sue or call it out, and it costs nothing to put it there. When Tom and I did the social zombies talk, and again, we're talking, this is the second story.
Long time ago.
That
was just after we started the podcast, I'm sure.
2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we did that, before we did that work, you know, with Facebook apps and stuff like that, we actually had an attorney go through the Facebook terms of service at that time to verify that nothing we were doing, and we paid Mark Rash and David Hodes. This was back when I was at InGuardians, and we paid them to go through those terms of service. And as we talked to them then, and I've talked to Katrina about it recently, it is absolutely there because it costs nothing to put in there, and it protects them. And it's always going to be to their benefit. That's why you get things like, if you post your picture on Instagram, Instagram owns a perpetual, non-revocable license to the picture that they can use it any way they want. Hey, look, your picture sucks, just like my picture sucks, right? Like, Instagram is not taking the picture of the knockoff Lego set I put together of the Titanic last night and using it in their marketing. But they don't want me to sue because they used it in their search results and I claimed that was them using it. And I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying this is reasonable. That's why I don't know the answer to solve it, except read faster.
Read faster,
because lawyers are going to keep adding stuff.
Well, there is one sort of tip, I think, that came out of this article that we were talking about, and that is, if you can't read faster, read the section on what data is collected.
That's that is absolutely.
Yeah.
And think about whether that data is something you're worried about.
Yeah, and they talk about watching for specific words like sell or sold or affiliates or third parties or may be used for whatever. That sort of hints at what the worst case might be that could happen. So really good discussion on that. So This installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor, the most interactive and engaging security awareness training platform for building a strong security culture and improving your employee resilience. And please tell your security awareness managers in your life, if you have any, that they can join the Cybersecurity Awareness Forum for free and collaborate with others. As I posted this morning, they lead a lonely life. Don't let them suffer in silence.
Poor people.
Oh, yeah.
So visit clickarmor.ca/CSAF to join the Cybersecurity Awareness Forum. That's it for this episode of Aware Much.
Have you ever seen, I don't know if you have these in Canada, Scott, but these commercials for the, is it the ACSP or something? They have like the lonely puppies
that are in cages.
Yes. Adopt now.
Maybe you should have like a security awareness manager commercial of like, these poor people really sad at their desk and
go to
crying.
And search and have it generate a graphic.
Yes, there you go.
User awareness manager pound.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, we have to do that. Yes, we're doing that. So Scott, you need to take 5 minutes, go to ChatGPT and see what it comes up with. That would be amazing.
ChatGPT to create an image. How do you?
I think it does images now.
It does now.
Oh, okay.
It does now. Mm-hmm. I haven't used it, Jason.
Or you can use DALL-E.
I use, there's Night Cafe.
Yeah, a few of them. Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there.
We'll make it happen.
So
we'll make it happen.
We're going to throw that in next
user
week's
awareness
video
manager
for sure.
Pound.
I love that. That is amazing. That's perfect. So our last story of the week. So Biden has kind of released this executive order around new rules for AI. And before I kind of talk about some of the details, this is something that will apply to federal agencies, but for, commercial entities, it's really more of a guideline, and it's not enforceable unless they create laws that actually enforce some of these things that they're talking about. So for a federal agency, obviously, this may be a pretty big change in the way that they use AI and the security around LLMs and those types of systems. But I just wanted to state that. So this new executive order kind of mandates that AI companies are doing security testing of their products, and then those results of those tests need to be reviewed by the government prior to like a new product launch, as an example. And there's also some new standards that they are rolling out around biological material or things that could in AI that could cause harm to others or to organizations. So there's going to be some rules around that. And then there's this interesting thing called a watermark that will alert consumers when they encounter a product that is enabled by AI. So that has some interesting things with it, right? Like, what if something's created for malicious purposes? Is it going to have a watermark? Or will people start adopting this watermark and using it as, hey, this is valid. It's validated by the government, but it's really faked, right? In a scam? I don't know.
It is an interesting idea.
I believe this executive order has accomplished exactly what ChatGPT, OpenAI, whatever, Google and Microsoft wanted. The little companies that are just trying to get started out won't be able to compete. The large companies who can afford to deal with regulations and have been pushing for regulation, every single time I see an organization that has done something, built something, and then decides to go to the government and say, please regulate this, it's because they don't want the other people to get in, right?
That's a good point.
This executive order is going to accomplish almost nothing to secure or create privacy or help with people.
Or reduce bias and transparency.
There's so many things. Yeah.
The thing of saying, hey, government agencies have to take this into account. Great. What you just did was you added another paragraph to the clause in every contract. Tom, you sell pen tests. I sell pen tests. I don't know, Scott, if you see these in with the products you sell, but how many times have you seen the clause that says this doesn't make us a federal contractor? This contract is not taken to mean we are a federal contractor, right?
Wow.
Why is that there? Because somebody said you might get sued for it. And if you're a federal contractor, you fall under things like executive orders from the Biden administration or the Trump administration or whoever. This, to me, is the same rallying cry we hear all the time. We had to do something.
Better
it's
than
gonna
nothing.
Accomplish exactly the same as every other time we hear that rallying cry. AI is here to stay. AI is going to be used in a million different ways that we haven't even considered. I am an AI fanboy. I'll admit that. I've said forever, I bow to my robot overlords. I've been very clear that if you are the human revolution trying to rebel against the AI overlords, I'm going to snitch. But this isn't going to accomplish anything. Watermark graphics so people know they were AI generated. Sure. Have you been on Reddit lately? Have you been on Instagram lately? Have you been on Amazon with all the books that are AI generated and taking the names of other authors? That this executive order doesn't change that. And it's not going to. And as long as we have representatives in Congress that are going to start a fight with a witness in the testimony, which, oh my God, but it's a video you should watch. It's awesome. When Bernie Sanders is the cool head in the audience, we have an issue. And again, I'm not talking his politics.
That's just the state of U.S. politics.
Oh my God. Just this video is awesome.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get anything. Like the call from the executive order is for the Congress to pull together and create a privacy law. We've been calling for privacy legislation.
That's so never going to happen.
Right?
Forever.
Sorry, this executive order is a news pitch so that in the next election, the Biden administration can say, see, we protected you against AI. And I want to be very clear before somebody says, oh, you Republican, you hate Democrats. I would say the same thing if it was a Republican in office. Whatever idiot has accepted the position as president of the United States and come out and said, hey, I did an executive order and we've solved AI.
Even if it's an AI overlord that has accepted the position.
They're an idiot, too.
We hate all politicians equally on this podcast.
Yes. I don't like Biden doing this. I don't like anybody else doing this. It accomplished nothing.
Yes.
Sorry. I think it's an interesting read. I think it's got some things that if those things were possible to do, to mandate, but they are possible. It's possible to make laws, but this is not the way to mandate those. And some of those things are interesting, but this did not move the needle in protecting people against disinformation.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes. Great hot take on that. I love it. I love it. So
I'll be the next video, aren't I?
You may be the next video that Tom releases. We will see. We'll see. I've done a little bit of everybody, but you seem to be the winner, Kevin. I don't know why.
Every time I go, I'm like, what did I say this time? Damn it.
I'll be sure to tag you in the next one.
No, I appreciate
this
that.
One, like, it's been out for like a week, and then you're like, oh, look, Tom released this video.
I just saw it on LinkedIn not an hour ago. I was like, what the heck?
The social post, yes. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think that's all we have time for today, gentlemen. But thank you as always.
Thank you.
I don't want to spill the beans of some of the upcoming guests that we have for this year, but we've got a couple great guests lined up.
I will say we have a guest lined up that is one of my absolute favorite people, and I am so happy she's going to be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. Yeah. It's going to be good. So stay tuned for more of that. And until next time, stay safe and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.